And there are setbacks. And there are hardships, and they have to do things, and it seems it's hopeless, and they've fished all night, and things closed down, and the mission fields are shuttered, and they've caught nothing. But this account is here to remind Jesus' disciples, and to remind us that he is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And the living Jesus, yes, though we will work in this world, whether carrying out our vocation as his witnesses, in our jobs, or like the disciples eventually being sent out, he can and he will provide what is needed.
This message is from Rock of Ages Lutheran Church in Payson, Arizona, May 4th, 2025. John 21, verses 1 to 14.
If you're in Payson, I'm sure you've noticed and seen the majestic views of the rim and the things that make Payson special. One of those is the fact that you can just be walking right down the sidewalk or the street and there's an elk, just right there. A wild animal, but still moseying right through the town comfortably, eating the shrubbery, the grass, the blossoms on my lilacs, sometimes the neighbor's garbage. Even just today, as I was walking to church, I had to move to the other side of the street three times in three different spots just to go around these creatures because, you know, they're wild animals. And yet you probably also noticed, even as you take pictures of the elk, after you've been here a while, it just becomes a little bit more old hat. As I was going across the street with one of these elk, as it was standing there saying, "You're going to bother me?" I decided I wasn't going to bother it, and I went around it. But someone else came down the sidewalk within 10 feet of it and just casually waved, like, "Hi, buddy." We kind of take something majestic and extraordinary and just get used to it. Even after a while, we stop taking pictures. And I probably have more pictures of elk on my phone than of my wife. But after a while, it just becomes ordinary. And that's probably not because I don't want pictures of my wife, but only one of those two group actually says, "Please don't take a picture of me right now." It can happen as you move to Payson, the majestic becomes ordinary. Or in marriage, the majestic becomes ordinary. The exciting becomes every day. I don't think the disciples had reached that yet at this point, as John records in chapter 21. But rather, Jesus wants them to know, as we read on in this chapter, that even the exciting things are still there as they do what is ordinary, because Jesus lives. And today we learn and discover, as we look at the final chapter of John's Gospel, that we can always remember, because Jesus lives, every day is extraordinary. And that's what we see as John writes throughout his gospel, the miracles of Jesus, the extraordinary things, and it accumulates with him rising from the dead. And you can imagine the excitement of the disciples. Had they a camera, I'm sure they would have taken pictures. As Jesus appears and says, "Peace be with you," he was alive. And he breathed on them and he said, "My peace I give you. I'm sending you with the Spirit to forgive sins. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you." And they know he's alive as he says, "Touch my hands and my side." Extraordinary. And so John concludes at the end of chapter 20, "These things, these miracles, these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing you may have life in his name." We saw how extraordinary the truth is of his resurrection. As we believe, we see because Jesus lives, our sins are forgiven. He has paid the price, and by his resurrection, we know we are freed from guilt. And because he lives, he is who he says he is. The sign of the resurrection tells us he speaks the truth. He really is the Son of God, our Savior. And because Jesus lives, the promise he told his disciples is true. We also will live. Death has no hold on us. But what does that mean now for ordinary days in life? Well, it wasn't too long after he rose from death, about 2 weeks later at least, that John records one more appearance of Jesus for us. And this appearance, this miracle, is different in many ways from others that Jesus had done. This is really the only miracle we have besides the resurrection in which the scriptures record Jesus doing a miracle after he had risen from the dead. And he teaches them something. They now know he is the Lord. But there's one more thing he wants them to know. Afterwards, John says, Jesus appeared again to his disciples. And they're by the Sea of Galilee. And it's Peter, along with six other disciples who are there. Five of them had been familiar with fishing, and now they're together. And what shouldn't seem too out of the ordinary, Simon Peter told them, let's go fishing. And the other disciples said, we'll go with you. And remember, at this point, they had the extraordinary witness of the resurrection. They had Jesus sending them, and yet they had been told, as Jesus told the woman to tell them, I'll meet you in Galilee. So here they are. And suddenly it shifts back into the ordinary. Some commentators will say, well, maybe this is Peter going back to his life of fishing, and he's forgetting about if he really should be a disciple and an apostle. I don't know that, but this much we do know. They needed food. Life goes on. And this was something they could do to spend their time waiting for Jesus. So there they were fishing. But they found that night that even though Jesus had risen from the dead, even though he was victorious over sin and hell and the grave and the devil had been crushed, that didn't mean everything in life was always going to be easy. In fact, they spent the night catching nothing. Maybe we experience that too. As disciples of Christ, he does bless us and he can do miraculous things, but first, sometimes we must experience trials, pains, hardships, setbacks, and life as a child of God is not always miracles. Sometimes we, like the disciples, work hard and come up empty-handed. But Jesus was going to teach them that even if that's the case, or it feels like that, life with him will be extraordinary. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. About 100 yards off, it says. He called out, friends, do you have any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. Now, this didn't make sense after a night of fishing, but I'm sure it started to become familiar. There was another time when they had spent a night fishing all night and had caught nothing. There was another time when they didn't realize exactly who they were dealing with, and he told them to put their nets on the other side and to go out. So they did so. And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. One of the disciples makes the connection, a sense of, you might say, deja vu, as he recalls what had happened earlier, about 3 years earlier. The Son of God had told them to throw their nets and had brought in a miraculous heavy load of fish that almost caused their boats to sink. And so right away, there's no doubt this time. It is the Lord who, it's probably John, says. And as soon as Peter hears that, it is the Lord, he once again, in order to be closer to Jesus, goes over the side of the boat. This time not walking on water, but swimming to the shore, eager to be in his presence. And here we find something, you might say, rather ordinary. When Peter gets to the shore, there he finds Jesus sitting by a fire, roasting some fish and with some bread. You might expect if Jesus is going to appear to his disciples and John's going to record one more miracle, it would be something amazing, something grand, and yet it's a miracle. They caught those fish, and it's a miracle. How did Jesus provide and have that food ready suddenly? And there, Peter, approaching Jesus, might be wondering at this point, what is going to happen now? What is life going to be like now that he's alive? And what's it going to be like for me? I want to take you back to the last time Peter stood as it records him standing around some roasting coals. It was in the courtyard of the high priest, and Jesus was there too. And the last time Peter and Jesus were together, and one of them was warming themselves by a fire, Peter denied his Lord. And so what was life going to be like for him now that Jesus was alive? After all, didn't Jesus say, "Whoever denies me before men, I will deny them before my Father in heaven"? Where did Peter fit in now in Jesus' kingdom? This is perhaps one of the few times in Scripture we find Peter without words to say. But Jesus initiates it. He says, "Come, take some of the fish you've just caught and come, have breakfast." What could be more ordinary than that? And the next thing that John records is they knew it was Jesus, and they ate breakfast with him as he gave them some of the bread and some of the fish. Why is this here? Of all the things John could include after he says, "These miracles are for your benefit," why does he now add this one on? Well, clearly, it's not so that we can know Jesus is the Messiah. They know that. It is the Lord. He is risen. They have confirmation. Jesus is bodily alive. They've seen him eat the fish before this and eat bread. They've seen and touched his side. So why this miracle? Why here? Why now? Well, one thing is pretty clear. There will still be times when they must work hard and they must continue to toil in this life, even though Jesus is alive. And yet Jesus provides as he invites them to come in his presence. As Peter jumps through the water, and as he travels through the sea and the water, he comes in the presence of his God in what seems like an ordinary way, and yet wonderful that he can be there. And as Jesus provides a miraculous meal, he says, "Come, have breakfast." Something that they couldn't provide on their own, but he miraculously provided. He invites them to dine in his presence. And he has provided all that they need. Going forward, the disciples knew things would never be the same because they knew Jesus was alive. And once again, it's confirmed, yes, he's bodily alive, but once again, it's confirmed as they are sent out in his name, he will provide all that's needed. You know, we have churches that I heard about yesterday at our mission rally that work hard, and they work in places where they might be wondering, now what? Now that Jesus is alive and I serve in his name, what am I to do? And some of them are hiding in basements. And I can't say the name because this will be posted online later, but they're hiding in basements in the countries where they share the gospel. And sometimes they build buildings which they can't even occupy because the governing authorities say, "No, we won't give you a permit to occupy that church, that seminary anymore." And there are setbacks and there are hardships and they have to do things and it seems it's hopeless and they've fished all night and things close down and the mission fields are shuttered and they've caught nothing. But this account is here to remind Jesus' disciples and to remind us that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the living Jesus, yes, though we will work in this world, whether carrying out our vocation as his witnesses and our jobs, or like the disciples eventually being sent out, he can and he will provide what is needed. Those same churches where they meet in the basement have what's very ordinary as they gather. And as they meet those mornings and say, "Come, have breakfast," they gather in the presence of Jesus. As he says, "Wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." And those are the same people who pass through the waters to come in his presence of baptism. And those are the same people who are invited to partake of his miraculous food in his supper. And Jesus is present to provide and strengthen his church. And even though the authorities of this world might try to stop them, even though it might seem they at times come up short and some of those missionaries have to work tent ministries and go out not fishing but working, God provides. And through miraculous means, he moves the hearts of his people to provide so that the work can continue. And the work still continues to this day. It's fitting that John's gospel would conclude with this: Jesus is alive. But now what? Now what, brothers and sisters? We could go out fishing and pretend everything's going to be ordinary, but we can't forget this. The living Jesus provides for our needs. And just as that first miraculous catch of fish told them as they left their homes and family, "You can serve me now and not worry about the rest." Now the disciples have the assurance, "You can serve me." And though at times it may feel like failure's on the verge and around the corner, I will provide. And Jesus, the living God, invites his people to his presence. And even sinners like Peter, who once denied him, are invited to fellowship once more and come have breakfast. After this, he will reinstate Peter and invite him to feed others with the gospel. Because Jesus lives, there is no such thing as an ordinary day for the people of God. The work that you do in supporting the gospel is like what the disciples did as they dragged that fish and brought it to the fire and ate together. God provided, and yet he wants his disciples to serve him as they work. As the disciples dragged that net ashore, they might be wondering, "Jesus can perform an extraordinary miracle, but why do I need to drag this?" Well, God provides, and yet he invites us to participate and serve as he provides. And in that service, as ordinary as it might be, whether fishing in the mission fields in some country in some basement somewhere, or you supporting the gospel as God provides for your needs, it's a miracle that the gospel continues. And it continues because Jesus lives. And he who is the same yesterday, today, and forever invites you to his house and in his presence and says, "Come, enjoy the miraculous meal, you who have passed through the waters, you who now belong in my presence." And someday, because God provides and watches over his church, we will gather in his presence. And I love this account because it's so ordinary, eating breakfast with Jesus. And yet it's not, is it? It will never be ordinary as we stand in the kingdom of our God, and with bodies made new, we dine with him day after day after day for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. It will never be ordinary. And each day right now will never be ordinary because Jesus lives. Each day is now extraordinary. Amen.